Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep at His right hand, and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Now, as I kind of go through this today, I do have to give a little credit to someone I've never met. Her name is Jody Hooper. She works in children's ministry somewhere around Atlanta. She's wrote a bunch of stuff because with being at the school and doing FCA, I try to find different sources. And some of the things that she had put out there, it made sense. So a lot of the words today are not necessarily my words, but of this Miss Jody Hooper. Right? Now, during the 3 years that Jesus traveled and taught, he was constantly using these parables. And we know that these parables are often short, but they're complex. They have more than just one meaning. So it may seem simple, but it really isn't. And towards the end of this kind of 3-year ministry of Jesus, as it got closer and closer to the time when he would be crucified, he started telling stories that talked about a man who had went away for a while and came back. So, for example, there was the parable of the 10 talents, where a man returned from a long trip to see what his servants had done with some gifts that they had been given before he left. And two of the servants were faithful with their gifts, and they were rewarded by their master. But the third servant didn't even try to use his gift. And because of that, it was taken away from him completely. Well, that's kind of what we're going to see a little bit today. In today's parable, it's often referred to as the parable of the sheep and the goats. We're going to learn about a shepherd who returns to divide his flock into two groups. Sheep on one side, goats on the other. And as we'll see, one of these groups is rewarded by the shepherd, and the other group sent away from the shepherd and punished. Now, there is some possibility for misunderstanding with this parable if you don't kind of view it with the whole ministry. Many people have used the sheep and the goats to argue that getting into heaven is merely a matter of doing good works or being a good person. But the gospel clearly teaches that there's only one way to be made right with God, and that is the blood of Jesus shed to make that atonement for sin once and for all, and our belief in Him. So Jesus told this parable not to imply that works bring salvation, but to show that there are many who merely pretend to know and love God, saying the right things, observing the right rituals, but never truly living kind of a changed life that loves others like He's loved us. So Jesus's teaching in this parable gets shown elsewhere in the scripture. So what about these sheep and goats? Well, during this parable, it would have been familiar with the process, those that would be familiar with the process of sorting flocks. During the day, we can let sheep and goats kind of mingle. They graze together, they roam wherever they please. But at night, their needs are different. They have to be separated. So if we have sheep and goats, we need to kind of learn a little bit about them, how they're different. Well, they might look similar, make noises that are almost the same, but their personalities and behaviors are very different. The goat kind of looks cute. Probably a little innocent, all right? But anyone who's ever spent time with goats know that they're actually a little bit of trouble. Goats are very independent animals. If the shepherd decided to go on vacation for a week and he left the goats to survive on their own, they'd probably survive. They have huge appetites. They'll eat anything and everything to satisfy that hunger. So a shepherd has to be careful because, like a mama goat, she'll often eat every bite of food that's put out for the babies, leaving them to go hungry. She just kind of bumps them with her head and gets them out of the way, and she eats her food. Another thing about goats is that they're motivated by their own desires. So let's say that a goat one day decided he's going to take a bite out of its shepherd's hair, and he likes the way the hair tastes. Well, from that point on, that goat is probably going to make its life around sneaking up on the shepherd and trying to take a bite of his hair all the time. Of course, the shepherd's probably not going to like it, punishes the goat when he does it, but the goat just can't stop thinking about the taste of that hair. So as soon as the shepherd goes to lie down to take a nap, the goat's going to be right there just trying to chew on that shepherd's hair and hopefully avoid any punishment. So here's the thing. Goats love doing what they want more than they love pleasing the shepherd. So let's look at the sheep. From a distance, a sheep might look like they've got it all together, hanging out in the pasture, grazing on grass all day, playing with other sheep in the sunshine. But the truth is, sheep require so much help to stay alive. So I found this out as I was going through this. If a sheep falls on its back, it will actually just stay on its back until the shepherd comes and shows it how to get up. All right? If it doesn't get up, eventually it's going to die. So sheep have a strong tendency to panic and run around wildly when they're stressed out about something. So if a car drives by and honks the horn, well, the whole flock of sheep may just run around in circles for the next 2 hours freaking out. All right? Well, sheep can also feel very calm when the shepherd is around. So they'll follow him anywhere because they've learned to trust him. They know that when it rains, the shepherd's the one who gently moves them to shelter. When they're hungry, the shepherd's the one that will take them to a pasture with tall, tasty grass or give them other food to fill their tummies. They know that the shepherd is the one who cares for all their needs. Well, throughout the Bible, God says we are His sheep. So think about what we just learned about those sheep. They're totally helpless without their shepherd to guide them and to take care of them. We're like those sheep, and God is our good shepherd. We belong completely to that good shepherd. He cares for us and would never leave us completely alone. So because of that, we can trust Him to give us everything that we need. So if we kind of get back to this parable and we see what happens, remember the shepherd, he's divided the sheep and the goats, with the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. So in this parable, at this point, Jesus doesn't talk about the shepherd anymore. He talks about a king. Jesus is our good shepherd, but he is also the king above all kings. And he's coming back someday to rule over all the earth. And in this parable, Jesus tells us that the first thing he's going to do when he returns is decide who's a sheep and who's a goat. So in the parable, it sounds like the sheep did a pretty good job. But what Jesus said might seem a little confusing, because Jesus said they fed him when he was hungry, and they gave him a drink when he was thirsty, they made friends with him when he was lonely, and they came to see him when he was in the hospital or in prison. So what does it mean? So how can I possibly be one of the sheep when I've never even met Jesus in person, let alone made him a turkey sandwich for lunch? So the people that were in the sheep category were confused. And they should have been. We know from some of the other parables that we've looked at that Jesus always had a good answer when people were confused. And he knew that his parables were often the kind of like a mystery and hard to understand. And that's exactly what he wanted them to be. He wanted people to think hard about what he was saying. But Jesus never ever left people without any doubt of what he meant. So that's why the king in this story of the sheep and the goats gives a very clear answer to this question. He says, "The king will reply, 'What I'm about to tell you is true. Anything you did for one of the least important of these brothers of mine, you did for me.'" The king, Jesus, told the sheep that because they have loved and cared for the people around them, that they've loved and cared for him. The sheep get invited into the kingdom of God. But here's something really important to remember. The sheep have not earned their place in the kingdom through the good things they did. There are not enough good deeds in the world to change the fact that we've been separated from God and his kingdom by our sin. In Romans 3, verse 23, it says, "Everyone has sinned. No one measures up to God's glory." And if we keep reading in Romans 3, we see what does make us a part of the kingdom of God. In verses 24 and 25, it says, "The free gift of God's grace makes all of us right with him." So Christ Jesus paid the price to set us free. God gave him as a sacrifice to pay for sins, so he forgives the sins of those who have faith in his blood. So that's pretty exciting stuff, because God loves us so much and doesn't want our sin to keep us from having a relationship with him forever. So he sent Jesus to pay the price for our disobedience. Because he died on the cross, we can be part of the kingdom of God forever, if we just simply believe in what Jesus says and what he did for us. So when we trust in Jesus and believe that he died so that our sins could be forgiven, something happens. We change. We're not the same as we were before. We decided to love and trust Jesus. So if we were to go through, I know it's going to be a little difficult to see right here, but if we were to write the word sin on a piece of paper, all right, and as we kind of lived, and as we sin, we continue to write every sin that we've committed on this piece of paper. So everything you've ever done to disobey God is on this piece of paper. After a few years, the paper would probably be pretty full. But then one day you decide to trust Jesus and believe that he died to pay that penalty for all these sins. And right then and there, it's like the paper record of all your sins has been torn up, right? And we get to start it over, right? When we decide to follow Jesus, we get a brand new start. We get to live the life that he wants us to live, and he wants us to love the people around us because he loves them and us so much. When he was on earth, Jesus said there were just two things we needed to remember. First, he told us to love God, And then he told us to love others like he loves us. That's why in this parable, the sheep were able to do lots of things to show love to the other people. It's like he's pouring all of this love into their hearts, and they can't help but pour love out into other people's lives. You might say that the good things the sheep did were evidence that Jesus was working in their lives. So none of these good deeds that Jesus mentions are hard to do. He doesn't say that the sheep gave millions of dollars to their church. It doesn't say that they wrote a 1,000-page book about God. It doesn't say that they moved into a cardboard box and ate only cockroaches so others could live in their house and eat their food. It's easy to show the kind of love Jesus talked about. You know someone that doesn't have enough to eat? Give them part of your sandwich. Someone's thirsty? Give them a cup of water. Someone at school is lonely, friendless? Go sit with them at lunch. Invite them to your house. If grandma's sick, make her a card. Call her up. Go visit. Give her a hug. That's all he asks. And when we do those simple things, it's like we're doing them for Jesus. He must be so happy when we love other people that way. Now, I've been spending a lot of time talking about the sheep. What about the goats? What do you think Jesus is telling the goats? Well, the goats were living a selfish life. They saw lots of people in need, but did nothing for them. They were not like the sheep, who had been kind of given this brand new way of seeing other people when they trusted Jesus. The goats had not accepted the love of Christ, so they didn't have his love to give to other people. Sadly, when the king comes back to sort the sheep and the goats will not get in to be with him forever. So the attitude of those who had failed was this: if we had known it was you, we would gladly have helped. But we thought it was only some common man who wasn't worth helping. It's still true that there are those who will help if they're given praise and thanks publicly. But to help like that is not to help. It's to pander to self-esteem. Such help is not generosity. It's a disguised selfishness. So the help which wins the approval of God is that which is given for nothing, but for the sake of helping. So when you know how much Jesus loves you and how much he did for you on the cross, you are literally overflowing with his love. You can't help then but to love other people like he loves you. And when you serve them, you're also serving Jesus. But if you ignore and reject that love of Jesus, you'll never see other people the way he sees them. You'll never be able to serve them unselfishly and completely. And in this parable of the sheep and the goats, Jesus tells us that the kingdom belongs only to those who love him and love others. So the command is this: love each other as I have loved you, from John 15. Remember, we show our love for Jesus by loving and serving other people. Amen.
Let us confess what we believe with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, Lord. Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and of all of God's creation. Great God, we praise you for sustaining the church through another year of grace. Continue to shepherd your people with your tender care. Sustain the social ministries of the body of Christ and increase those sharing opportunities for ministry. Lord, in your mercy, sustain the world that you have made, the heights of the hills, the seas, and the dry land. Guard the animals during the winter months and direct our use of creation to provide for the needs of all. Be a source of strength and refuge for all weathering severe storms. Lord, in your mercy, bring peace to every place where conflict rages, that your reign may be honored throughout the world. Bless the work of the United Nations and of agencies that promote the well-being of all peoples. Lord, in your mercy, visit homes on Thanksgiving Day when we are separated from loved ones. Embrace us with your care. Keep gathering safe. Give us voices to offer thanks to you for all our blessings. Lord, in your mercy, we beg you to end the earth's pandemic. Bring healing to those who are suffering, any who are sick, dying, despairing, isolated, unemployed, and all exhausted workers. Lord, in your mercy, show your loving power to all who are in need. Equip us to feed the hungry, to provide clean water for the thirsty, to welcome the stranger, to clothe the naked, to care for the sick, to visit the prisoners. We pray for all of those in need. Lord, in your mercy, we appeal to you, God, we who are like both the sheep and the goats, and we ask that in compassion you will hear the prayers of our own hearts. We praise you for all the saints who have died in faith. At the end of all things, bring us together with all the saints into your kingdom of joy. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
Let us pray. Praise and thanks to you, Holy God, for by your word you made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. By your word you called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts, freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile. Wisdom for life with you, for your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. Through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to us and call us to witness. Forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-giving love. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. Send your spirit of truth, O God. Rekindle your gifts within us. Renew our faith. Increase our hope. And deepen our love. For the sake of a world in need. Faithful to your word, O God. Draw near to all who call on you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Amen. Let us pray what our Father taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
And now if we'll say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.